certainly consider it a blessing to be here tonight, and this is my first opportunity to see your new sanctuary, and what a blessing it is to see it. And it's greatly encouraging to see a body of believers that have a vision for the future and who have been willing to labor in that direction. And I think you set a good example for churches all around. And the other thing that I'd like to commend you on is you're proving that more than one ordained elder can exist in one congregation and not try to kill each other. I mean, I'm very thankful for that, and what a blessing it is to know that you, in fact, since I said that, I'll also say, as you turn to Joshua chapter 13, if you'd like, the norm in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, is a plurality of elders in the local assembly.
That's right.
That is the norm. It is not the exception. And I thank God that y'all proved that that can be done. I also know it can be done. Okay. And I'm just so thankful to be here again. Great opportunity to be with you. And also I'd like to say how honored I am to precede my father in the ministry tonight in this same pulpit, Elder Don Ferris. What an honor that is to me. I want to make 3 points tonight, if God would bless. I'm going to steal a statement from Elder David Piles, and then I'm going to augment it some. He might not would like to know that I'm going to do that. But to start that out, I want to read here in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. And Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. There are many things I love about the Word of God. First of all, may I praise God tonight that it is in English.
Amen. Amen.
And you do not have to know Greek and Hebrew to know what God said to Moses.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
I'm so thankful for that. I don't have words to express it. And I'm also very thankful for how the Bible is just so honest and open and shells down the corn about everything. And I'm not sure that if I were going to approach an older brother, that I would have the gall just to say, you're old and stricken in years. But God just tells the truth and always tells the truth. Aren't you glad to know that? Anyway, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. The United States of America is about 236 years old. May I lovingly state that I believe the Church of Jesus Christ to be in the neighborhood of 2,000 years old. You know what I mean by that, right?
Yes, sir.
I believe with all my heart, Bethlehem Church here has a lineage all the way back to the shores of Palestine and the city of Jerusalem, first century.
Amen.
That's what I believe about it. And may I lovingly say, there's still much land to be possessed.
Amen.
25 years ago, or so, when I kind of first got serious about trying to preach the gospel, I thought by the time I was old, I would have everything fixed in the church. I just knew that that was my job, and I already had all the answers. And I just knew that by the time I was 52 years old, this ship would be smooth sailing and all no problems. I just knew. Well, I am now 52 years old, and I now know that I will die with there being yet much land to be possessed by God's saints. The illustration I'm going to use, and by the way, I hesitate to speak on these things because I'm not sure that you need them. I don't know. And I also am willing to admit that things have gotten much better in my lifetime. In some places, things are much better. Aren't you glad to know that?
Amen.
Here not too long ago, I was called on to preach at the church at Donaldson, and I preached my little heart out on the subject of Rahab the harlot. I said some things I believe about Rahab the harlot. And Elder Dickie Haupt-Gewalks, who was there, said to me, 30 years ago, that had been your last sermon. I'm thankful that I can still preach tonight after preaching that sermon.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I can preach on subjects nowadays that were anathema 30 years ago.
Amen.
You should be thankful too.
Yes.
I'm very thankful that it's more common for churches to meet more frequently, even on Wednesday nights. I'm very thankful we have an informal Bible study where I am. I love it with all my heart. Jesus Christ, by the way, had informal Bible studies everywhere he went. Now, it's okay. Aren't you thankful that that's better? I'm thankful that there's a wider variety of subject matter being spoken from the pulpits across America. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
I'm thankful. Okay, well, maybe. Okay, I'm just thankful things are lots better. But I'm telling you tonight,
there remaineth yet much land to be possessed by the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
May I tell you, the children of Israel, in all their wars and all their years, never possessed all the land God gave them in the land of Palestine. They never possessed it all. May I say to you tonight, with all the love in my heart, unless the church runs me off, I'm going to be a primitive Baptist the rest of my days. I'm not going anywhere. You're going to have to run me off. But can I tell you, I believe with all my heart, there's still much, much, much more that we can be doing.
Amen.
I believe, may I say to you, I think our attitude can be better. Now, I do want to qualify this. I am absolutely not talking about altering what we believe about how God saves His people. In fact, I think we need to be more zealous than ever about preaching that. Don't you?
Yeah.
Right. We need to be more zealous than ever in the world we live in, where almost anything passes for Christianity. We need to be more zealous than ever about preaching the truth of how God saves His people and start that out with the doctrine of total depravity. And if people understand depravity, grace and election will be the best news they ever heard in their lives. And let's preach it, okay?
Amen.
I mean, I'm not talking about changing that. You understand what I'm... Okay. Very much land to be possessed. Okay, now, three things I want to say to you, and I'm going to try to be brief because I want Brother Don to have plenty of time to preach to you tonight. I want to hear him preach bad. So glad he's here. Yeah. You want... Okay, if I had used proper grammar, the reason Alan Daniels smarted off there was because I didn't use proper grammar. I should have for that. I want to hear Brother Don Ferris preach badly. Well, you still say that. We all are praying that Brother Don will preach really, really well, and we want to hear him preach really, really well badly, don't we? That'll get that squared away. Okay, now, well, I tell you what I really think we need to be thinking about as local churches. Three statements I want to make, and I'm going to try to hurry. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord gave what I'm going to call the first commission to His apostles or His church. And I don't make a distinction between there, and I hope you don't. The apostles were the first ones put in the church. Say amen.
Amen.
They were the foundation bedrock. They were the very first ones He had put in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, so forth and so on. And when He sent them out here, in Matthew chapter 10, and you can find their names here. This is also mentioned in Luke. I forget Luke somewhere. And He sends them out. He mentions, by the way, and when He sent them out, he, incidentally, just for your information, He sent them out by twos. Plurality of elders. It's just all through the Bible. Anyway, sent them out, and He told them, all right, do not go into any city of the Samaritans. And into the way of the Gentiles. Don't even enter in, but go rather... I love this, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
Now, He didn't say go to goats. He said go to sheep. Can I just stress that? But they're lost sheep.
Yes, that's right.
of the house of Israel. That was his original commission to the church. They were expressly forbidden to preach to Gentiles in Matthew chapter 10. Isn't that amazing? However, by the time the Lord got through with his ministry, Matthew chapter 28, what people commonly refer to the Great Commission, and I don't have any problem referring to it as that, that does not stress me out at all. He told them this. Listen to this now. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Now look at that. Look at that now. All nations. Not just the Jewish nation. All nations. Bless your heart. That's why we've got churches in America. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. Incidentally, if you're one of the people that doesn't like the fact that this is still the church's obligation, tell me where else we get authority to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not trying to be mean. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. By the way, the apostles didn't last at the end of the world. So really, who's this commission for? Just throwing that out there for you to think about. Now, here's what I want to say to you. Listen to me very carefully. I stole this. I stole the sentence structure from David Piles. The church in the year 2012 does not need a missionary society. The church should be a missionary society.
Amen.
I hope you can say amen to that.
Amen.
And I'll tell you where I believe it starts. I believe it starts at home. I believe it starts with moms and dads. I'll say more about that in a minute. Moms and dads, y'all listen to me, brainwashing their children. That's the strongest term I can think of to believe the fundamentals of how Jesus Christ saves His people from their sins. My wife read the Bible to my sons when they were in the womb. That's how seriously she took it. My wife is, let me tell you how great my wife is. Brother Harold, you just be quiet when I say this. My wife is better automatically than I am trying my hardest. I knew it. I knew he couldn't be sealed. She read the Bible to my children when they were in her womb. You say, that's crazy. I'm telling you, it's not crazy. Did God or did God not give John eternal life while he was in his mother's womb? And if John the Baptist had eternal life when he was in his mother's womb, I'm telling you, Holy Spirit God can minister the Word to that child. Which is also, incidentally, why we like them in the assembly when the preaching's going on. That's why we like them in here. I love it. Now, I'm proud y'all got a cry room so Mama can go back there and get the baby under control and then bring it back in. That's wonderful. But that's why we like them in here. That's why it's the New Testament pattern for children to be in the assembly with Mom and Dad worshiping God and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know for certainty that my son John was born again when he was 3 years old. Because I saw the fruit of that in joy when I was teaching him the Bible in our home. I'll use this illustration. Y'all know what bandwidth means? At our school, we're supposed to start taking all these tests on computer. And the problem with that, of course, the people in Little Rock decide, or the State Department decides we're going to take all our tests on computer nowadays. The problem with that is we don't have the bandwidth for it. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's getting better. But in the Scriptures, we've got all this broad subject matter and things we can be doing in the service of God. And we've been operating on a bandwidth about like that. Especially since the split of 1832, but things are getting better. But I'm going to tell you right now, I do not believe that we need it, but the church should be a mission society. The church is a missionary body. I'm not talking about to get populate heaven, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to populate the kingdom of God, to populate this church. I am extremely, exceedingly interested in more people being a member of your church. I want more people to be a member of my church. I want more people to be members of every church that's represented here tonight. More people in every church. You say, well, you're just interested in numbers. Well, the problem is, numbers are people. And I am exceedingly interested in more people being a member of the Lord's church. And here's one reason why. I believe with all my heart, if more people knew the truth of how God saves His people, God would get more glory from people that are living on this earth right now, and I think that'd be a good thing. And I'll tell you something else. Those people that learn the truth would be happier, right? And if we will increase the bandwidth on what we preach to include all the practical matters that are in the Word of God, you know their lives will be happier. And I'll say something else. I've got to hurry. Y'all, I put absolutely no faith whatsoever in Washington saving America. It seems to me they're doing their best to destroy it. I put much more faith in the people in this church right here,
amen,
living godly lives. I believe that'll have more effect on preserving this nation than all the politics you can stack up.
Yeah.
So thus I say we need to be, when I say we need to be missionary minded, I mean thinking about that. I mean also thinking about other people. Y'all listen to me very carefully. Thinking about people that are beyond out our borders, outside the camp, the lost sheep of the house of spiritual Israel.
Amen.
I think we need, listen, here's what I believe about it. I think we should be so serious about reaching out to people beyond our borders that we would absolutely think of them as just as important as we are. Can you say amen to that? Can you even? Okay, maybe that's enough of that. Now I'm going to give you a little hint on how to build your church. Don't gripe about it in public. Another way you can build your church, don't depend on your preachers to do it. You got some quality preachers here, don't you? I know you got quality preachers. Don't you think for one minute that your pastors can build this church by themselves?
Amen.
They can't do it. God never designed that. It's their job to minister the word. It's really your job to fill the pews. And I'd like to tell you how to do that. Be a satisfied customer.
Amen.
Did you know satisfied customers? Did you know you're far more, I'd say, okay, many people are far more likely to invite someone to go to their favorite restaurant than to go to church. Okay, I think we need to think differently. Okay, so the church does not need a missionary society. The church should be a missionary society. I hope you know what I mean by that. As my father in the ministry, Elder Don Ferris, has said to me over and over, and I repeat it all the time and blame him every time I do it, evangelism is the life's blood of a local church. Reaching out to others. Thinking of others. You know what? You know something that just creeps me out? I just get creeped out when I see a church that only thinks of itself. That creeps me out. That's just not right. Okay. Matthew 19. That was point number one. And I wish I weren't so nervous, but I'm really nervous. You just pray for me. Matthew 19 and 14 says, our Lord and Savior. I love to think about the way our Lord and Savior did things. Our Lord and Savior had a compassionate heart. He had a heart of love for His children, didn't He? He would go the extra mile, wouldn't He? Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. He was busy about it too, wasn't He? He was busy about it. One time, He said, let's go out here in the wilderness and we'll rest a while. And the people followed them out there and they were so busy they didn't even have time to eat. Jesus said to them one time, verse 13, okay, Matthew chapter 19, 13 and 14, but then But then were three brought unto him, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. I wonder how much trouble I would be in if I brought little children down here and put my hands on them and prayed, even though Christ did it. Just let you think about that. How much trouble would I be in? I'm not advocating that. I'm just trying to get you to think. And his disciples rebuked them. I'd probably have people rebuke me. I'm just trying to get you to think. Okay. Then Jesus said, but Jesus said, suffer little children. And he means by that, as it says in another place, suffer them to come unto me. Allow that. And forbid them not to come unto me, for of such, that is, children, is the kingdom of God. In fact, children are our examples in many ways.
Amen.
Children love. They don't hesitate to love. Brother Harold talking about they say the truth. You know, we'll not. They say the truth. They're far, far, far more likely to just show their affection and love and to believe and have total trust. And we reason ourselves out of it, don't we?
Yeah,
we reason ourselves out of it. The Lord said, suffer little children to come unto me. Here's my second statement to you. The church does not need a youth program. The church should be a youth program. I'm absolutely convinced that one of the things we've got to get serious about is reaching the young. Now, what I mean by that is us preachers preaching on in a way that they can understand what we say. Some of the wisest men, Charles Kitchens tells a story. Y'all know Charles Kitchens from Jasper, Alabama? He tells us he's a great minister. 150 pounds of dynamite, that's what I call him. Little bitty guy. Little bitty wiry guy. Preach like a house of fire. And he tells a story about an old preacher that got him off the side one day and says, you need to get the trough down low to the ground where the little lambs can get in there. I think we need to think about that. Now then, I think we need to do that, but also I tell you what we need to do. Us pastors need to be teaching mom and dad to teach their children in the home. And I'm going to go on record tonight as telling you there is nothing, nothing, nothing that will substitute mom and dad, nothing that will take the place of mom and dad teaching the Word of God to their children in the home on a regular basis. You cannot depend on your pastor to do that. He's not there enough. May I stress that with all my heart? Can I say, now, you know, my mom and dad weren't taught that much. My mom and dad did the best they could with us boys. They did the best they could with what they had at the time. But I'm telling you right now, we need to expand on out and cover a little more of that ground that we have not yet covered. And us preachers need to teach it, and you people in the pew need to practice it. And if nothing else, read the Bible to your children. Read it to them. And then if you have a question, or your child has a question, let me give you an idea. Call your pastor. I have tried to teach the people in Macedonia that they can even text me a question. You're saying, well, you mean you text? Yes, I can text. And you know one reason why I learned to text? Broaden out that territory a little bit. And Josh Honeycutt and Luke Honeycutt, two young men in my church, have texted me questions. And yes, I can answer a question in a brief little text. I'm serious. Let us reach out to the children. I'm telling you, they're our future. We don't have one. Okay, I'm going to tell you this story right quick. Went to the singing school in Jasper, Alabama. Every year I go, I sleep in the dorm with the boys. I don't sleep in a camper. I don't get a motel room. I am in the dorm with the young men. Every night we have a devotional in the dorm. And guess who opens his mouth from time to time? And I am going to be in that dorm with those young men, 60 of them this year, so that hopefully I can help them at least a little bit in their Christian walk. And that's just a little tiny thing that I can do. That's not much. That's just a little tiny thing that I can do. All right, finally, I just wish to address the breakdown in the home in this country. And I'm going to have to say tonight, seriously, we as Primitive Baptist preachers have to take our share of the responsibility for the breakdown in the home in this country. Because we've not taught We've not taught a lot about that down through the years.
One of the themes of my preaching all the time is men being loving spiritual leaders in the home. Not dictators, not sitting around barking orders, not chauvinists, but spiritual leaders. In other words, chauvinism won't work. You ladies, feminism won't work either. Feminism isn't an answer, it's just another problem. Now, I know that'll get me in trouble. But you notice I started with chauvinism, okay? And you know what it says over there in Ephesians? Us husbands are supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a tall order right there. Anyway, so, did you know that roughly, as of right now, roughly two-thirds of marriages that are transacted in this country go south? Roughly one-third of the students I teach live with both parents. I'd like that to soak in. One-third. It's rare. It's just almost unheard of for youngsters to have the same mom and dad still living with them, still married, still in love. It's just almost unheard of. When I tell my students that I've been married almost 24 years, coming up this December 31st, 24 years, which I cannot even comprehend, they say to me, "Wow, that's a long time." And we're just getting started good, me and Becky. We need to get serious about this, teach the whole counsel of God. That's the one thing we're going to have to do, teach the whole counsel of God. Did you know expository preaching is taught in the Bible? It's amazing how that I get in trouble for preaching expositorily. Preaching through a book of the Bible. Okay. All right. Anyway, well, we need to teach it all. You may not like to teach it. There's stuff in the Bible I don't like to teach. Do y'all hear me? There's stuff in the Bible I don't like to teach. You know what my favorite verse in Matthew 1:21, favorite book is Ephesians? My favorite doctrine is the atonement. The atonement is my favorite doctrine. If I preach what I want to preach, that's what all I ever preach. And if all I ever preach is the atonement, I'm a sorry pastor. I'm serious. Third and final statement. The church does not need a marriage counseling program. The church should be a marriage counseling program. Now let me read it to you as I close out. Titus chapter 2. Just let me see if I can read this without commenting much. Get out of Brother Don's way. Titus 2. And this will tell you how this is right here in the Bible. It's been here all along. Right here in the Bible now. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Paul writing to the younger minister Timothy. I mean Titus. You know, and that's great. I tell you one thing that I am so thankful for is fathers in the ministry. A young gift in the ministry has got to have it. He's got to have someone that will tell him when he's wrong, tell him when he's right once in a while, help him do better. All right, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men, y'all listen, here's the Bible pattern. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now, I'm to the point now where I probably am closer to the aged men than I am the young men. Thank you, Brother Harold. I really like it when somebody like Bill McCarthy comes up and says, "Hello there, young man." I usually say, "Bear down on the young really hard." Stress that young part. Aged men sober, serious about God, serious about His Word, not flighty. The aged women likewise. Aged women. I'll let you ladies decide if you fit in that category or not. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Notice this now. Women, teachers of good things. Women, teachers of good things. I'm reading to you from the inspired Word of God. Do I think a woman should be up here behind this pulpit? No. But women are to be teachers of good things. Now, I tell you where things start. Things start at home. My wife's taught me a lot of good things. My wife's been a tremendous help to me. I would not be what little bit of a man I am today without her. I can tell you that. And I think another thing, listen to what it says in the next verse, that they, that is the aged women, the older women, may teach the young women. What? Teach them what? Incidentally, I don't think the aged women are going to be able to teach the younger women unless they're with them some. This is going to sound radical. Some of you may think this guy's a nut. Maybe I am a nut. There is nothing wrong with the women in a church getting together and the older women teaching the younger women how to be wives and mothers and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm not saying you got to do it. But don't tell me we're heretics if we do that. Okay. The young women are supposed to be sober. All right. The older women teaching the younger women to be sober. To love their husbands. You mean younger women need help knowing how to love their husbands? Did you know younger women can use some help in knowing how to love their husbands? I had to have help learning how to be a husband to my wife. I was married to her and I didn't know how to be a good husband. I'm not sure I know how yet. All right, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You mean younger women need to be taught how to love their children? I'm reading to you from the Bible now. To be discreet. Older women teaching younger women this. Chaste, keepers at home. That's unheard of. Good, obedient to their own husbands. What? What? That the word of God be not blasphemed. And then young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So we have here in Titus what I think to be the example for how this is here. This is a great example of how this can be done, how the church can be a marriage counseling program. And then read Ephesians and other places about the and Corinthians, the other places where it talks about the way a home, a Christian home, is supposed to be organized. Let's teach it. And let us preachers live it. Now, I'm going to close out with 114th Psalm. Turn to the 114th Psalm, and I'm going to let Brother Don come up here. 114th Psalm. As you turn to that, would you be willing to admit with me tonight that there might be some territory that we could expand out and cover that we're not covering? Now, if you're not willing to admit that, you are saying that we're doing it perfectly. Y'all hear me? Either we can do better and cover more territory, or we are already perfect. Make up your mind. Okay, 144th Psalm is what I meant to say. 144th. And then I'm going to quit. 144th Psalm. I love this. 144th Psalm, 11th verse. I'll read just a few verses here. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, David's prayer. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. Boy, do we need to be delivered from strangers. I don't mean, you know what I mean by that. Whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Lord, deliver me from that kind of person. That they're interested in vanity and falsehood all the time. Why do I want to be delivered from that? That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Wouldn't that be great? I met a young lady at singing school. Her name's Libby Fowler. She's from North Carolina. She's 16 years old. Her father's Pastor Eddie Fowler from out there. And that young lady impressed me with her courage, with her willingness to work, with her love for the Lord, with her love for worship. I was around her maybe 5 minutes. And it stuck out like a sore thumb what kind of great young lady she was. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. Y'all, I want you to know if churches are dying, it's not God's fault. I know you don't want to hear this first sermon. You shouldn't have to hear this first sermon. I freely admit it. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor. He's saying, you want our ministering service to be strong to labor? That there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. I just would lovingly submit to you tonight as I step aside that there is much, yes, the church is old and stricken in years, in a manner of speaking. Joshua, you're old and stricken in years. But there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. And I hope that our goal will be in the future to go on and spread out and possess some of that land. May God bless you.